What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, July 13th. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside my Irish cream.
How you doing, buddy?
And Danny O'Dwyer.
I changed the cup.
You did? Oh!
Mixing it up today.
Oh, I like that. I like that. No one knows what you knew. The Witcher.
The Witcher 3.
You ever play that game?
I have played a bunch of that game.
Yeah?
I won an award at the Develop Awards, actually, yesterday.
Oh, look at you making sense, tying it all together. Right, yeah. What did it win?
I think Blood DLC? And Wine won, sort of thing.
I saw Guerrilla got Best Studio. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Horizon. I love that game.
Horizon's awesome.
Right up there. That and Zelda. Neck and neck for me. Game of the Year.
For Game of the Year?
Yeah. Love them both. Absolutely love them both.
But Patapon on the horizon, you know? Like, it could be anybody. It's anybody's game out there, is what I'm saying. What, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. It is your daily deep dive into the nerdy news you need to know about video games. We talk about them. We love it. If you like that, you can watch along as we record over on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. But we don't look at the chat. The only way to be part of the show is go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Where you can tell us what we screw up as we'd screw it up. And then at the end of the show, we read them all. If you don't want to do that and you want to watch it later, go to youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Catch every episode there. Or go to podcast services around the globe. Subscribe there. Rate and share. And remember, no matter what you do to watch the show, please go do the other ones as well. Even if you're never going to listen to the iTunes version, helping, subscribing, doing all that jazz, it gets it to new people, which is great. I want to start with this, Danny. Not on the docket.
Whoa. Off script. Shit, Kevin. What do I do?
It's getting rad in here. I came off the morning show.
Okay.
You told me nothing had broken, but you had the update on the Mega Man people. Because we talked about this before, where the guy made Mega Man Maker.
Yes.
They were, is it going to be able to come out? It's supposed to come out this week. Mm. Then they started a Patreon.
Correct.
And that was the one weird. What's happening?
So the Patreon, I think it was up to about $30. I think I got them up to the threshold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got a message this morning saying that my patronage had been canceled.
Ooh.
And that maybe I'd been blocked or something. I was like, what the hell? So I Googled it.
You don't want your money, O'Dwyer.
Right? Yeah. They didn't want my money. Collusion.
Collusion!
You know? So yeah, apparently what's happened is they closed the Patreon because some server company came forth and said, what you guys are doing is cool, we'll give it to you for free.
So that's awesome.
They're basically giving something that's better than the equivalent of their top pledge tier. So
not too shabby. Good job, internet, coming
nice
out,
work.
Supporting each other, doing everything.
For
that's
sure.
What I like to see. Yeah,
so that's
going to
be out soon enough, I guess.
Good.
And hopefully it'll have pretty good servers.
Okay, good. I hope so.
And I get to keep my $4.
Yeah. He goes right back into the noclip fund.
Exactly.
Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Since it's so sporadic, I don't think I can drag it out like I used to.
Okay.
This would be time for some news.
But now it's like...
But anytime, I feel like Kevin's going to die doing it. He sounds like he's on his last legs over there.
He's almost... Yeah, you're 4 days out of five and now you're fucking it up. So this could be a clean sweep for you. Full house. Keep it up, buddy.
There are three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Nice. Somebody in the Reddit... Or no, in the comments of... No, it wasn't Reddit, I guess, was saying how much they like it when Kevin does Baker's Dozen.
It's beautiful.
So good job, Kev.
Yeah, that's great.
You have two contributions to this show, outside of running it,
now.
Making sure it happens, and driving the whole thing.
Yesterday, I also added music for when we're doing the name of the games that are coming out.
Wow. Nice job. Wow. Kev, I like to see you stepping into these roles. You're taking on this thing. You're a good guy. You're a good guy. First story is a very interesting one.
Right.
In terms of what we always end up talking about here.
If we keep talking about the Oculus, eventually it's going to be free.
Facebook is planning a $200 Oculus in 2018, apparently. Mm. This is via Bloomberg. I'm going to read two paragraphs of their stories. Currently, VR hardware comes in two flavors. Cheap headsets that turn smartphones into virtual reality players, like Samsung's $130 Gear VR, and high-end gaming rigs, like Facebook's $400 Oculus Rift, that hook up to $1,000 plus desktop computers. Facebook's new headset is designed to bridge that gap. A device that will sell for as little as $200 and need not be tethered to PC or phone, according to people familiar with its development. It will ship next year and represent an entirely new category. Like current Oculus products, the new headset will be geared toward immersive gaming, watching video, and social networking, said the people who were asked not to be named in the discuss the private matter.
Ooh.
Codenamed Pacific, the device resembles a more compact version of the Rift and will be lighter than Samsung's Gear VR headset, one of the people said. The device's design and features aren't finalized and could still change, but the idea is that someone will be able to pull the headset out of their bag and watch movies on a flight just the way they can now with a phone or tablet.
Good stuff.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
If you can get a VR unit out there for $200 or less... Mm. I think you're in a good spot.
That is perfect price point for holiday, birthdays, or like people just buying a bit of fun technology that they can. they can use without anything else. And I think that's what's key on this as well. Exactly. The fact that you don't need to stick it on a phone. You don't have to change your phone. That was always a problem with the Samsung, the Gear VR stuff. It already worked on specific headsets. And of course, the problem with most VR stuff is that you need a big computer.
Yeah, you need the computer and setup. And that's my concern, of course,
powerful computer.
No, you need a big computer. They don't make them small. You know how it is. But the bigger the computer, the more faster powerful it is. You know how it is. The concern for me on this is that it sounds cool, right? But it seems like gaming's the side backseat to it. It does sound like movies. It does sound like TV, which is fine, and apps. And I'm sure the games they put on there then aren't going to push that. But it's going back to what so many people have said, and the fact that VR's true power isn't games. It's the ability to put you somewhere else when you're on a plane, when you're doing something virtual tourism.
Totally. And if, you know, the biggest problem that VR's had since day one is trying to get it in the hands of mainstream consumers. Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, video games, like the types of video games that are made for VR, they're not really mainstream. Like it's not in the same way that like your friend who doesn't play games or your mom or dad isn't gonna, you know, enjoy that.
You figure the way it always works, right, is that my mom, when she played Wii for the first time, Wii Bowling, was like, I want this, and I got it for Christmas, and she played it a lot.
Yeah.
When she played PlayStation VR here, she was Let's Play Up on Kind of Funny Games, where she was blown away with it and loved being Batman, but she didn't leave thinking, I'm gonna go buy a PlayStation 4 and buy this thing and buy a camera and do these move wands. You know what I mean? It's just too much, the barrier to entry.
Yeah, for sure. And some of the best uses of VR that I've experienced on my PC has been stuff like Google Maps.
Yeah.
Which has that powerful, like, oh my god, feeling that you get from a lot of games.
Sure.
But obviously, it's not as meaty.
Some bullet points I broke out here from the Bloomberg story. Today, the global market for VR headsets remains tiny. In the first quarter, hardware makers shipped 2.3 million of the devices, according to IDC, compared to 347 million smartphones. Mm. Buggy hardware, pricey headsets, and insufficient content are all holding back mass adoption right now. Right now, Samsung leads the pack with about 22% of the global VR market, according to IDC. Facebook's Oculus Rift is in fourth place, behind Sony and HTC, with about 5% of the market, or less than 100,000 units sold, ID says, which is terrible when you think about it. Because that's always been the power when Oculus, you know, it launches in 2010 or whatever, is this Kickstarter or whatever, 2014 gets bought by Facebook.
Yeah.
I figured at least, here comes the Facebook money machine, here comes the Facebook marketing machine. You're going to not be able to not hear about this.
Yeah.
And that hasn't been the case, where it's like, it's still as niche as anything else. I think PlayStation VR, I mean, obviously outselling it, but it's also just like, I see that people talk about that more than it. And I think part of that is the fact that PlayStation is a brand name that I think people can wrap their mainstream people on, you know, on the Today Show can wrap their head around.
It's like Nintendo.
Exactly. Whereas when you talk about Oculus and HTC, and I think the fact that headsets look so much alike, it's just one of those like brand recognition, and trying to break that up is so hard.
Totally. If you hear the word Oculus, or it sounds like there's that horror movie, I guess, and then HTC Vive, like neither of those words mean anything. The thing that I wonder when Facebook acquired them was, okay, what direction are they going to pull them in? Because the gaming space, Oculus is in there, it's doing its thing, so is everyone else. But the unique thing that Facebook had to offer was the idea of this sort of social, the communication aspect of it. And one of the coolest things I ever did was do the Oculus Touch demo, where I was in one room playing games with somebody else who's in another room. And that was the thing that I went, oh my God, this is how VR, you know, becomes like a social tool where I can play with like my friends who are in Ireland, but it feels like I'm playing with them.
100%.
So we're kind of waiting to see what that ends up being.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is kind of like a hardware announcement, but wouldn't it be cool if they announced this with like some sort of Facebook VR thing? Or, you know, imagine if Pokemon Go or something used this.
Well, with them delivering on this one, right, this promise that they've been working on this thing, I like this other bullet point from Bloomberg. Facebook has said it's also working on a prototype device named Santa Cruz that's basically a wireless Rift with the full power of the original PC. I'm sorry, with the full power of the original device, sans PC.
Whoa, heavy.
That's when she... Well, remember, weight doesn't imply that it's more powerful than anything. No, that's when it gets really interesting. When it is a device that I think somebody like me could buy. I don't PC game, so I don't want to go and spec out the PC and build my own PC and then worry about getting the Oculus stacked on top of it. But if Oculus suddenly was like, there's all these great experiences. Like a good example of what you're just talked about too. In my, you know, top games I saw at E3 before E3 began, Echo Arena. Have you played this?
No.
Echo Arena is the one from Ready at Dawn. It's the multiplayer mode of Lone Echo.
Okay.
And so we were in this presentation they were giving us, like, you're going to go and you're going to play this thing called Echo Arena. It's like, it's zero G frisbee golf or whatever, where you have this thing, you have teammates, you can throw it back and forth to them. Enemies can come up and grab you and punch you and take it. And like, you're trying to get in a goal or whatever, but it's in zero G and going. And I was like, that sounds interesting and cool and whatever. And then they were like, well, you know, we put so much time into, working on hands and the way hands look in the game, of like how you press off a wall or how you stop yourself when you're going through zero G.
Right.
And I was like, that sounds weird, but whatever. And then when I started it and you jump in and you're in zero G, you have these like Iron Man gauntlets that you can point out like this and fly. And then you just got the momentum shooting over to get a ball, to do whatever. Like the first time I did it and then started like not tumbling out of control, but feeling like, oh, I'm going to that wall, zero G. Okay. And I reached out my hand and touched the wall. That was like, whoa,
right.
Let alone the fact that it was me and it, you know, I think it's 5v5 and it was me. So it was all these other games journalists there to turn around and be like, oh, hey Ben, like, what are you, you know what I mean? Like, and then like move your fingers, do the points. And it's like, holy shit. Like this, I love PlayStation VR for what it is, but suddenly having your fingers, having this animation, having the power, seeing it, it, you know, it looks so much better than what PlayStation VR does with the screen door effect and stuff. It was like, fuck, this is really cool. It's not cool enough that I want to go invest in a PC and invest in a Rift and do all this different stuff, let alone the fact, do I have 9 other friends who have these things and are ready to do this and we're going to go play Echo Arena or whatever. But in terms of what a future could be, that was really cool. And that's when you get back to like, how, when, as these devices get smaller and smaller and you can't have it without the PC and you can figure new ways, that's when it starts getting really interesting what gaming with VR will be.
Yeah, totally. What do you think about the idea of, there's been a bunch of places that have sort of started off almost like LAN cafes, like internet cafes, but with VR. What do you think about that stuff? Someone's birthday, bunch of you go to a VR place.
It makes sense, right? I mean, that, because that is the problem, is that there's no way to plug and play this stuff where it is like, you know, we want to do VR Let's Plays. And it's like, when somebody's pitching us that, we're like, all right, cool. You have to get a space. Yeah. Like, we don't know, the kind of funny studio is not big enough for us to all do that.
And tear this all down.
Exactly. Then, to do that and have it all set up where we're not hitting each other and doing all this different stuff. So that's, I think, an interesting way of getting it. My problem with it, right, is I think it's cool. I don't know how much success you'll find. And also, I feel like, as you've seen with so many other pieces of technology, that's going to catch up to you. That isn't going to be a long-term business model, because either VR is going to fizzle and go away, or VR is going to become so easy that, we are doing it in our living rooms, or we all go out. Because if it's just put on your face and like they have it all figured out, go out into a park and play. You know what I mean? All your bags get stolen by jerks watching. But you know what I mean? There'd be different things to do with it, right? But it's a cool idea in terms of the sense of discovery and, hey, I don't have the money to invest in this and I want to come play these cool things. And it could be that I see that, all right, Echo Arena or GameX is such an awesome VR experience that it's like the arcades, where you go and you line up and you're like, all right, cool, I'm next on this, and you book out your time or something. That's cool. That's a good idea. But it's super fucking nerdy. You know what I mean? It's so fucking nerdy. And I think that like we all celebrate our nerdness, but I don't know in different places in the country world if they do, to the point that, what are you doing tonight? Oh, well, I booked space down at the VR factory. Yeah. I'm going to go do that for a while. I'm like, what?
It doesn't have the edginess of the arcade.
Exactly. Yeah, because you figure what people love about the arcade is the social aspect of it,
right,
where it was the walk up and somebody puts down a quarter and you see it. And this is the exact opposite of that. This is like, hey, you look like a moron in front of everybody. Yeah, exactly. But it's a cool idea. I hadn't heard about that. Are they already up and running in places?
Some places have done it, and then there's this kind of this even cooler version of it where people are making bespoke games which are mirrored with a building which is the same.
Oh.
So you go up and you touch a wall, but you touch a wall.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen like ads for some of those in like Vegas and stuff. I'm not sure if they've actually started.
See, that's really interesting.
That's like Laser Tag's evolution.
Yeah, though, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I'm thinking of it very much of like there was a place in Columbia, Missouri that was like, hey, we have a million Xbox and 360s. So come here and play, like rent it and do it, you know, open all night. And I was like, that's cool if you don't have that or you don't have that game or whatever and you want to have a social experience. That's very interesting. That is, like totally we're laser tagging it up or Dave and Buster's to the next level. Interesting.
Yeah. We'll have to see. It needs to get in more people's hands or on more people's faces.
Exactly. And I mean, those are the experiences that do it, but it is also that thing of, I just don't know if you can run a business just doing that. Whereas if it would be that you tack it onto, it is a Dave and Buster's thing and it's over there and you go play it there.
The VR suite.
Yeah. Facebook's new VR handset will ship in, it says handset, will ship in 2018. So we'll miss this year's holiday shopping season, giving rivals a chance to hit the market first. But the $200 price tag and Oculus's reputation among developers could give the gadget an edge with consumers. We shall wait and see. That was, I think, the most interesting thing about E3 in Judges Week, where I went down there totally not expecting as much VR as I played.
Right, yeah.
I really thought, oh man, VR, we were all about it last year. We're not going to see much of it this year. And then it was, no, a whole bunch of people have done stuff. Now, granted, the way the cycle works, right? Of like last year, like, oh shit, get on the VR train. And then by the time we get here, like, oh, fuck. Fucking ZeniMax is suing Oculus. Todd Howard's going to own everything.
It's weird. Do you have? It might be different for you because you have a PSVR, and I think that's a bit easier to just pop on your head and play whenever you want.
Yeah.
I have to be in the very like right moods to do room scale stuff with my Vive.
Yeah.
But I tend to come to this stuff where I have these moments where, oh, like 3 months of games have accrued and now I'm going to like have my VR.
No, that's is happening to an extent, right? Because there's still like Ghostbusters experience I've never done, which people tell me not to, but I'm going to do it. And then there's the Spider-Man 1, 2 that I have there. And then I have a folder on my PlayStation 4 where I just put all the VR games that I download and put in there. So yeah, I'm doing the same thing, but I don't know when I'm going to do that. It'll have to be when Jen's out of town. So I'm not like feeling like a horrible husband. I'm just like sitting there in the world, kicking Portillo, not doing whatever
that's,
the hell I
have you, yeah, that's like a genuine, standing on my cats.
Yeah.
Is like a real fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I could kill my cat.
Yeah. When I did, when it, at the old house in the old Kind of Funny studio, I wheeled the desk to the wall and put in a game screen and I had like a standing VR setup. And so it was the fact of like when Porty and I would go in there, like for Resident Evil, I'd sit him in my lap. But then if he got down, I had to drag his bed in and put it in the corner. I'm like, you stay over there.
Yeah.
Get out of my way. Don't get over here. Cause even him just like brushing my leg while I'm playing RE7. Yeah. I'm like, get out of here. Number two. On the Roper Report, there's an Xbox update out right now. Give you some bullet points here. I mean, the first one's the most important, most interesting. You can upload custom gamer pics to your Xbox Live profile now. Choose how you want to express yourself. I'm taking this all from the Xbox
Live. More avatar screenshots.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah, you actually take your face and put it in there. Of course, it doesn't apply. I like how Major Nelson had to spell out on the blog. He's like, the Xbox terms of service still exists, so don't be an asshole about this. Yeah. Mixer co-streaming.
Or assholes,
probably. Yeah, exactly. Mixer co-streaming is now on a console for everyone. With just a few clicks, you and up to three of your friends can stream together in a single broadcast, plus never miss your friend's streams inside your club and arena tournaments.
Can we talk about Mixer for a second?
I would love to, because here's how it went for me.
Okay.
Here's how it went for me. We were doing our pre-show maybe it was the show had actually started. I think it was actually started for the Xbox conference this year at E3. Okay. And they were like, Mixer. And I was like, get all of your gifts ready for, stop trying to make Mixer happen. Mixer isn't going to happen from Mean Girls or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it must have been pre-show. And then the show started and on their second or third reference, I tweeted that out. And I was like, throwaway tweet during E3.
Right.
What do I care? And then it was so many fucking Xbox fans were like, fuck you, Greg. And I was like, dude, it was clearly a Mean Girls reference. And Mixer's like, one of their community managers hit me up. I was like, no, a lot of people do. And I was like, this is getting taken way more seriously. Yeah. This is not what I meant. And he's like, no, I know how things get.
E3 is like funny throwaway tweets every 20 seconds.
And it was, for me, it was more anything, a callback to the reference I made because I was already seeing them start to go. But then, rest of the fucking week, people were like, oh, a million people watch things on Mixer. And they'd send me the link. Like, there you go, Greg. I'm like, I don't use whatever platform you want. I want everyone to be successful. Damn.
I just like Mean Girls.
For the record, I really hadn't heard of Mixer till this point.
Either had I. Until the rebrand. Well, I guess they'd rebranded. What was it called before? It was, I barely heard of the previous name or whatever. But they had an event in Seattle I remember people going to.
I don't.
But it does seem like... like kind of weird. It's like Microsoft launching like an Amazon alternative. Twitch seems to be so pervasive, and it doesn't seem to be that much of a difference between the two platforms. I mean, in terms of like how it gets put on the internet, it's different because it's its own piece of software. But it's getting broadcast in its own ecosystem, right? Like it's not
it's one of those. They talked about it. I read one of the articles about how many people watch it, and I was like, cool. And I haven't. I still have no knowledge of Mixer and how it works. And I mean, that's me just being ignorant, I guess. Look up Mixer. For me. Find out some information about Mixer. Because again, do what you want. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be competition, but this is very much like when PlayStation was like, yeah, and here's the Live from PlayStation app. It's got Twitch and Ustream. I'm like, what the fuck is Ustream doing here? Or like when WWE was like, all the wrestlers were using Tout. Using Tout. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Upload your clips to Daily Motion.
Exactly.
Right now.
There's so many different things where I'm just like, whatever. If people are enjoying Mixer Go, I guess it's just one of those things of, we talk about it, your blind spots in gaming. You know what I mean? And of course, like for me, it's Blackout on PC gaming. But like PlayStation, I know what's happened to the ecosystem. I know where we're going. I can find you dumb trophies. And do I have some doozies for you coming up? But then it's like Xbox, where it's like, I know the Xbox exclusives. I'm paying attention to what's coming out on Live. I talk to them, those guys. We play, you know, the good games on it.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, if I'm not embedded in it, I have no idea Mixer was happening or a thing.
Totally. I'm watching a Mixer stream right now. Their pitch, Mixer is the only next-gen streaming service that offers viewers real-time influence and participation in live game streams. So they have a bunch of tech built into it, I think, which is like the chat room is in there. I think you can do like they've polls and stuff, like interactive elements.
So there's no latency? Is that the deal? That's what they're talking about here?
I don't.
What's IGN doing over there?
What's IGN doing? Web show.
IGN's web show.
Finally, a dating sim about hot dads. Oh, this is
Vernon's game.
Vernon's game, yeah.
23 people watching on Mixer.
Yeah, here's Rocket League, right? Something I watch on Twitch relatively frequently.
Yeah.
Let's see what it looks like on Mixer.
Taking forever to load. It's, there it goes. We're in.
So there's chroma happening. Like, I think you can do this in the app. You can do the green screen element.
Yeah, the way
there's graphics on this as well.
The graphics all look like a pre-canned or like a United Texan.
Yeah,
I mean, good for him. Go get him, I guess. Yeah. But it's similar like when MLG was like, we're going to stream. YouTube Gaming, we're going to do all this stuff. Right. And it's like...
If YouTube Live is lagging behind so much already, like what chance does Mixer have? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's a cool thing for the Xbox ecosystem. It seems funny because it works on PC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems funny, the PC side, considering how much integrated Twitch, OBS, there. And yeah, all that stuff is. Yeah, you know what I mean? And XSplit and everything.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, this is what happens, right? They find a market and they got to do it. But it's the thing to me. And I obviously don't write into... Here's what I... Okay, so real quick. Don't write into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong unless we've mischaracterized what Mixer is. What I'd rather you do is go to kindoffunny.com/KF... GD.
Yes.
For Games Daily. Nice. I haven't bricked on it in a while. KFGD. And I'd rather you tell me there why you use Mixer, why you like it more than Twitch.
I would love to know.
We'll go through those responses from kindoffunny.com/KFGD tomorrow on the show. Don't fucking put them in the you're wrong thing. No editorializing. Unless we fucked up things. Also in this update, you can now sign into your Xbox One with just one press of the Xbox button on your controller.
Finally, that second press was fucking killing me.
And new user-generated tournaments for Killer Instinct on Xbox One means it's never easier to go into battle with your friends.
Woo.
Plus, the Xbox app on iOS and Android updates bring full support for LFG sharing, Game Pass browsing, and updated language/location setting, and an Android-only feature supporting messaging chat bubbles.
Cool.
How often do you use any of the third-party apps on your phone for any of this stuff? For like, or not third party, I guess, but you know what I mean? Like PlayStation.
Never.
Do you play multiplayer games a lot on a console?
I don't actually. I play mostly on PC. That's mostly where randoms do, so I don't party up with people.
That was my thing. When I got really into Friday the 13th, and I was like, now I'm going to play with audience members and community members, started adding people, and I was like, oh, I'm using the PSN. I'm like, this is so clunky, blah, blah, blah. And it literally wasn't until we got into a chat thread and something was broken and we're trying to figure out where I was like, fuck, this sucks. And I'm like, wait. And I pull up the phone, the app, and I'm like,
The app's
way better and way easier. And I'm like, I should have been doing this. But I'm still there, like, fucking trying to talk to somebody in SOCOM 2, PS2, like, going through, chatting in the box. But yeah, the app, I was impressed with that. Actually worked and did that stuff.
Actually, I might check that out because I haven't,
Yeah, if you need to do messages, it's easier. They weren't updating as fast as they should have been for writing a real message. Or? Yeah, a couple seconds. Yeah. For a full message, for adding friends, doing that stuff. It was good.
Yeah. Well, that's the worst part of it is it takes up the whole screen whenever you want to.
Exactly. Right. Anyway, I'm like, I just want to know what's going on. And then number three for the Roper Report, rounding it out for today, Thursday, we have two pieces of interesting news from IGN about Nintendo. I put interesting Nintendo shit because they weren't worth their own bullet points, but to bring them in here, I thought we'd do. So from IGN, we got two. Number one, Nintendo has ended production on the smaller new 3DS model in Japan. While the company is no longer producing the faceplate, pour out your coffee, the faceplate equipped version, Nintendo's official Japanese website indicates that the new 3DS XL or LL in Japan model is still being made. As such, new 3DS XL, 2DS, and 2DS XL LL are the models currently being produced by Nintendo. So at first I was like, oh fuck.
Right.
They're ending three. Oh, nope. Still a million goddamn 3DSs to buy in Japan. There's just the original, or not even the original, the new smaller, whatever.
Right. Which makes sense. Yeah. I mean, they just put out a new SKU, so they'll like chop one off the end
and
put a new one in.
Tim has been using it, and from what I understand, I don't think he was enjoying it. I don't know.
Really? I've heard it's quite plasticky or something.
Yeah,
like
I think that's what it was. Like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll see. Maybe we'll talk about it on Gamescast today. Mm. Or maybe, is it out? Did I ruin an embargo? I don't know.
I don't know. I saw...
come for me, Mr. Nintendo.
I saw IGN.
I saw Brian do it. And again,
I saw what's left of Brian.
I was going to say, I know we're beating a dead horse here.
Right.
But at some point, somebody's got to stop Brian Altano. Because, like, in the Nintendo 3DS thing, he raised his arm and they were pipe cleaners. I'm like, no. Right. I'm like, okay. I understand losing the weight, your neck's looking great, your torsos. Yeah. The arms, Brian. Something's got to be done about these arms.
It's amazing.
Yousef McGee, have him lift a weight or something, or somebody force feed him a donut.
I was, like, about to have, like, lunch, and I saw that video, and I went, you know what? I'm going to have a salad.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. There you go.
Brian Altano is making my life better.
Good job, Brian. Good job.
Being himself. Thank
Raising
you,
a glass to you. Good job.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy. For you. Prost.
And the other interesting thing, Nintendo Switch. Oh, this one I do find fascinating.
Mm.
IGN still. Nintendo Switch is getting its first video streaming app in Japan tomorrow.
Oh.
No. According to Nintendo's blog post, the system's first streaming service isn't Netflix or YouTube. Instead, it's Nico Nico.
Nico!
One of the biggest Japanese video platforms. Nico. Lets people live stream and upload videos similar to YouTube. Mm. However, what makes Nico stand out is that the user comments actually appear over live streams. Yeah. Uploaded videos also have real-time comments, pop-ups, and uploaders can add quizzes and polls to this video. This sounds like Mixer, or what we think Mixer
right.
is.
But Japan just, this is always the way they did it.
Yeah.
That's just, you should go to the website. It looks like, you know, year one YouTube.
Yeah.
Just like old internet.
Big old blocky. Shit.
It's beautiful. Mm. You need to register to actually get to watch any of
what's videos. Exciting about it is the fact that, all right, cool, there's finally a third-party app on, or like that's a video thing that's yep. not a game on Switch. Because like...
First through the wall.
It is one of those very interesting things of when they announced that they don't have that stuff. Oh, yeah. That definitely looks like an older website. When they announced that they weren't doing that, it was like, all right, that's a weird thing. But yeah. then as much as I'm using my Switch and like I'll be on the road and it is in my backpack and I'm in the airport mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm done with this. Like, it would be cool to hop over and see what's happening on YouTube or do this or get Netflix on it right. or whatever. I don't think it's necessarily needed. I like it fine. It's just that. Mm. But in terms of if you want, this is back to like when we didn't play DVDs. It's like right, if you want totally. This to be like yeah. the people's main console and a lot of people are getting on board with that, then maybe you should.
Yeah.
Maybe you should do something cool.
And we, you know, there is going to be that situation where you're like, you don't have your laptop or your
yeah,
PC
exactly.
or something, and you don't
and
want to watch it on a
phone. And it's rare and it's minimum, I know. And it's yeah. like when I had Netflix and YouTube on my Vita, like I rarely ever used right. them, but they were there.
But they meant like your iPad stayed at home.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, you could just have it
and that's the
phone.
Thing. More importantly than anything, it's cool to see that wall starting to fall down. Yeah. Who knows what'll come. I'm not thinking we're getting WWE Network anytime soon, but it's cool to see stuff on there that they're actually trying for.
Yeah.
Now, Danny. Oh, are shit. You prepared
oh my god
for a giant run of games, because there's a lot of stuff coming to mom and grop and digital shops. Where would I go, Danny, to find out what's on that list?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as no it's not listed
it is listed.
It's listed as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every day. Was it right?
Wow, that was really good. You missed one word. Fuck. One word.
What was it?
The official list of upcoming software across.
Oh,
not on. But okay. It was really good. It was really good.
I got one day left out.
Go home and work on it tonight. Whole bunch of shit here, guys. Over on the Switch, Death Squared. Finally coming to Switch. We love Death Squared when we played it earlier. There's a Let's Play up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Full disclosure, they sponsored us for another Let's Play of the Switch version. So that's going up. So if you can't trust me on saying it's great, whatever. But I said months ago when they didn't pay me, it was great. So just a heads up. I just want to be clear on everything.
This is PS4. Is that what you played it on?
Yeah, I played on PS4.
Okay, I've seen it on PC, actually.
Yeah, they came through right before PAX Australia, I believe, and showed it. And we did a Let's Play that we all... That's the bodyguard. Right. It doesn't make sense to you, but it makes sense to people watch Let's Plays.
You went to PAX Australia last year?
No, we went to RTX Australia.
Oh, yes.
RTX Sydney.
Yeah.
What was it was that fun. On? It was really good. They were so thankful that we were there.
Right, totally, right? Because you have to go so far, yeah.
I've never been to London. That's what I want to do.
Have you been to Europe?
No. Well, I mean...
Gamescom?
I went to Gamescom. Yeah, okay. yeah. But that's it. And I did France right. stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
London's cool.
Yeah. I know. Well, France, I was a kid. It was Leipzig.
Leipzig?
It was the last
shit,
Leipzig.
That's like 2000... I was there too.
2008? I think 8.
No, it wouldn't have been 5. Yeah, 8.
Yeah, seven? 2008, I think yeah, was it. Yeah. Well, I don't think I got my first year. Maybe Ooh. I did though. Maybe it was 2007. Doesn't matter.
Glasshouse.
Went to Leipzig.
Yeah.
But I want to get over there. Frisky Business
Frisky.
Comes to PlayStation 4. Keep that one in the forefront of your mind. We'll get back to it in a second.
Okay.
We'll get to it right now. Because what happened is, Danny, and I'm not, you know, I'm not, this isn't me.
You're not a prude.
Exactly. I'm not here. It's a new segment on this show, all right? Frisky Business is coming to PlayStation 4 today. The new segment is called, Look at These Motherfucking Trophies. Again, I'm not a prude. I'm not easily offended, despite what the internet might say about me. But they don't have a platinum in this game, so they give you like a silver for what I think is like their highest achievement.
Okay.
It's called, it's Gotta with an S. So Gotta's Bang 'Em All.
Gotta's Bang 'Em All.
Gotta's Bang 'Em All. Get it on with all the girls.
All of them.
Here's double your melons, double your fun. Have a threesome with Jenny and Gertrude. Now, I'm reading through
it's
this.
A lot
I'm
of
like,
melons.
I don't know. I'm reading through this thing. Frisky Business, obviously, like it's one of those text games you're going through. You make your choices, dating these different girls, dating simulators. The art is very risque.
It's Lula VB for the new generation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's Leisure Suit Larry is what it really comes down to. You know what I mean? But I'm going through this. I'm like, okay, what are you guys doing? Blah blah. Then they show they are PlayStation fans and tried.
Okay.
Kitty got wet. Get it on with Tiffany. Kitty got wet, of course. Nolan North's famous ad lib for when he's fighting the guy that he stole from his son.
Kitty got wet.
Then there's Peeping Frisk. Peep through all the girls' windows. Okay. And then, if you don't want to play it as a perv, there's just the facts, ma'am.
Why are you playing this game?
Complete a playthrough with no sexy times.
With no sexy times.
No sexy times.
I just want to get to know you.
Yeah, yeah. Cheater, cheater, salsa eater, threesome with Balbina and Serena.
Wow.
There you go. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening there. And so I'm just putting it on your radar that that's out there. Will it be an easy, obtainable one? I don't know. The game looks goofy. Do I want to see Nick play it? I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what I mean. So that's out there. That's for
Steve. It could be a whole new era for PlayStation. Maybe we'll see.
Well, that.
Beat 'em and eat 'em. Come on. And
Jesus.
HD remake.
Yeah, yeah. No, there. Because there was
Custer's
the other.
Custer's Revenge.
There was another one I just did before break that was another one of these. It was a Tinder game.
Oh,
that was
yes.
one of the quick platinum or whatever that I
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I remember you talking about.
But that
about
one, it. That one's trophies weren't as in your face, like, hey, this game's about fucking.
Yeah.
Just letting you know this is about penetrating people.
But Kitty got wet.
Kitty got wet. Yeah. Did you ever hear the story about that?
Nope.
So what it is, you know, it's because it's great. Because it's great. Like, I was doing a Comic-Con panel for Uncharted 2. And it was me, Nolan North, Emily Rose, a couple other people. Amy was up there. Mm. And somebody asked about ad-libbing on set or whatever.
Okay.
And Nolan's like, yeah, well, you know, a lot of them we get to do these different things. And I always try to come up with stuff to make people laugh and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I was playing Wii tennis with my son or whatever. And okay. it wasn't whatever. I was playing some Wii game with my son. And he was small at the time. And he beat Nolan or scored the point. And he goes, yeah, Kitty got wet. And Nolan's like pause the game. He's like, what did you say? And he's like, Kitty got wet. And he's like, what does that mean? He's like, well, you know, like cats don't like to get wet. So I thought they'd like, you know, like, and Nolan grabs the kid. He goes, you're a genius. And so on set, they were doing mocap and he did one. And he's like, Kitty got wet. And so that thing proliferated enough where that became like an Uncharted like love story.
Right.
And so like it's in there. So they tried with their trophies. Yeah. What I'm saying. I don't know how they didn't get a platinum. Could have just demanded the platinum.
You've been screaming about it for literally years.
A lot. I have two people in my inbox right now who want me to consult on their trophies. I have demos
oh, really?
I need to play and give them ideas for the trophies.
That's what you've done now.
Exactly.
You've given yourself a lot of work
still
to
out
do.
There. Still, yeah, I know, right? Exactly. I'm so much free time. Of course, I can play these games. Still out there. It's an option for you. These people didn't need me except for the fact that I would have stumped for their platinum.
All right.
I would have stumped for them.
Your game's
also,
worth it.
Coming out. We got Dead Core on Xbox One, Demambo on Switch. As Divine Cross on 3DS, Cursed Castilla on 3DS, Dream Daddy, a dad dating sim on Steam. Of course, this is our friend Vernon Shaw's game. Yeah. You know him from Hot Pepper Gaming and Game Grumps. He's also a guest on the Game Over Greggy show that'll post tomorrow for Patreon people over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygame. Or no, kind of funny. And then it'll go up on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Monday.
Right. It's not unlocked just yet.
Yeah.
7 hours, it says.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There was a tweet from the account today. We need a little bit more time, champ.
Okay.
Because the Dream Daddy account tweets as if it's dad.
Oh, really?
So it's like calling you all these cute names. Then you got ACA, Neo Geo Fatal Fury Special on the Nintendo eShop for the Nintendo Switch.
That's so many of those
I
games.
And Me for the Nintendo Switch on the eShop. Levels Plus Addictive Puzzle Game. That is an on-the-nose title. Nintendo eShop for Nintendo Switch. Oh, there's As Divine. Nintendo eShop 3DS. Curse Cotillion. Bit Dungeon Plus on 3DS.
Jesus.
And then Box Up.
You better box
on
up,
Wii
boy.
U. Before we get out of here, time for some new dates as well. Ooh. Some good news, some bad. GT Sport is officially coming, apparently, on October 17th.
That is a hell of a day.
We'll believe it. We'll believe it when we see it.
I've heard there is a lot of video games coming out on that. You keep going on.
Is it really? You're looking at them? Because the 27th or October 20th. Yeah, October 26th or 27th. That's really fucked. Masquerade is coming on to PlayStation 4 on August 8th. I watched that for a while at one of the PAXs. It's the new game. It's pretty cool. Super Cloud Built releases on PlayStation 4 July 25th. Samurai Showdown V is coming to PlayStation 4 and Vita. No release date given. And then the news that broke so many hearts today. Ni No Kuni 2 has been delayed to January 19th, 2018. The quote from the CEO, we have decided that more development time is required in order to deliver the full Ni No Kuni 2 experience to our fans. I deeply apologize to those who have been looking forward to the game's release.
Better wait till it's done.
Is 17th shaping up to be something crazy?
GT Sports, South Park, Fractured Butthole, and WWE 2K18.
And
Elix, which I don't know what that is.
Then next week it gets really crazy.
Yeah, the next week is
Origins, Mario,
Wolfenstein,
then a bunch of movies. But sticking with this Ni No Kuni delay, over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD, X Reverse Flash X wrote in just like you can And he says, Bandai Namco US has announced this morning that Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom has been delayed to January 19th, 2018. I think that this was a smart move, given it was coming out right after Assassin's Creed Origins, Super Mario Odyssey, Call of Duty World War II, and before Star Wars Battlefront 2. It would have been drowned out. January is typically quiet and gives this game, much needed attention. But I pose the question, do you guys feel release dates have been getting announced way too early? I've been annoyed with this trend recently, especially with Sony. Ni No Kuni 2 was announced at PSX 2015, and now it's not coming until 2018. Sony, first party, is extremely guilty of this. God of War, Days Gone, Detroit, Gran Turismo Sport, Last of Us Part 2, and Spider-Man, still not out. Other examples are Final Fantasy VII Remake, Kingdom Hearts 3, and my goodness, where is Resident Evil 2 Remake? Games shouldn't be announced 3 years before they come out. There's no reason for this, and it just frustrates gamers who hear nothing on something they are waiting for a very long time. I feel companies shouldn't announce a game unless they feel it can be released within a year of its announcements. What do you think of this? Thanks for all your hard work and the great podcast each and every week. It's each and every day, motherfucker.
I would love if somebody could like compile some data on this.
Sure.
Because from my sort of like the way that I feel about this is that the 3 year thing has always been the way, but in modern day, in the past like 2 years, we've actually seen a lot of games, your Fallout 4s and stuff. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like be like, oh, we're out in like 6 months, which was totally unseen. You know, you never see that in the past. Video games take a long time to make. They take like much more than 3 years, like 5, 6, you know, years, the best of times. And, you know, if they have trouble, they can go on for way, way longer.
Yeah.
So like 3 years in the grand scheme of things in that life cycle is actually relatively short.
Sure.
I mean, some of those are like games which have had really difficult development cycles and are, you know, standing out from it. But I don't necessarily think that like 3 years. People like to know something's coming.
The biggest thing about this is the fact that I'm with you. I loved the Fallout 4's thing. Here you go. It's out. You know what I mean?
Like that was great.
Exactly. Fallout 4 is a different beast. Mm. Fallout 4 is a game that has its fans and has its audience and it's going to do it. Ni No Kuni 2 is a game that needs to be put out a bunch.
Yeah.
Because Ni No Kuni 1 was awesome, but criminally underplayed. Mm. And so you need then people, it's a similar thing to what we talk about all the time, where, okay, cool. Now PlayStation 4 killing it. They're all over the place. You hope that with Ni No Kuni 2, it will be, hey, I never played the first one, but I heard a really great thing. So I have recognition of this name. I'll take a shot on it. And it is that thing of like putting it out in that period is a fucking killer. Cause it's the same thing I'm dealing with Persona of just like, it's a long fucking game. This is a JRPG. It's going to eat up a lot of time. And a lot of gamers aren't going to be super invested in putting that time in when, there are a million other action games out, things they've been waiting for. It is the fall rush. January, the spring used to be a quiet time.
Right.
And it still works. I mean, we always talk about the game, and I can never remember. I always look at it. Dying Light.
Dead Space?
No, Dying Light did really great, because that came out right after the new consoles had launched. Here it is in a January release.
Right.
Right? I think it was January. And it was like, oh, fuck, this is great. I have this new system. I have something to play on it. Mm. That could work here, too. But you do have the problems of, you know, Sean Layton saying, okay, or Layton saying, all the things we showed are coming in early 2018, right?
And
that's what he said. So it's like, that they announced 2018 release dates on it, that it's coming then. It's like, I don't believe you necessarily, but let's say you're right and God of War is February-ish.
Right.
You know what I mean? It is March or something.
They all dump in the same spot.
Yeah, but I mean, January would still give you that thing. I think, honestly, it probably is one of those moves that, I mean, the writing on the wall here is that, you know, development time in order to deliver it. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more for, this is a crowded ass area. Yeah. Let's not send this game out to die.
That seems like a nightmarish place to put it.
Yeah. And it is one of those things of, we were talking about Telltale the other day and what, the brilliance of Telltale's episodic games, right? Is the fact that suddenly you talk about a game multiple times, you know, 5 times a year in a different way. For any game, usually it's your announcement. And then there's a lot of interest. Maybe your first hands-on, there's a lot of interest. And then it's your release.
And then that's it.
Exactly. So today what happened is the klaxons were sound that, hey, Ni No Kuni's been delayed. And suddenly everyone's talking about Ni No Kuni again and saying how much they were excited for this game, blah, blah, blah. And so the kid who's out there who wasn't excited for Ni No Kuni and was more excited to put $60 into getting Star Wars the next week suddenly looks at that and goes, oh, man, people are excited. I should look into this game. And they go finally down. It's like making those PR blasts and things like, outside of your announcement, your release, and a delay, I don't think you get as many big pushes. You don't want to keep showing the game. I went and played Ni No Kuni 2 at Judges Week, right? Mm. And it was like, jumped in, did a boss fight, did a little running around. It was like, great. I'm not going to talk about this because I know that this game is beautiful. It's beautiful. Combat is what I thought combat should be. but I don't have anything really. That's a game you need to sit down and put 10 hours into at least, and then come around and be like, all right, this is what's happening. These are the characters, and this is how it's all. It doesn't preview well. No. It doesn't preview in short bursts.
But but like you said, if they you know, turned around and said this game's coming out in 4 months when they initially talk about it, like, that's not enough marketing time for a game like this. And like, ultimately, this stuff is all about marketing, and sometimes people get it wrong on either side. We talked about No Man's Sky earlier in the week, where you just talk way too much about it for way too long, and then there's some games that just don't get enough marketing, which are good games, which end up sort of suffering on launch as a result. Hopefully, January will be better for them. There doesn't seem to be all that much there. It's the only confirmed game with a date of January 19th in January right now. But like you said, a bunch of games, God of War, they say they're going to be Q1, Sea of Thieves, the untitled Kirby game, the Crew 2 are all Q1 at the moment.
Sure. So could be there. But even those games, I feel like you could hang with. God of War is going to be God of War, but I think God of War will probably be March. Or February or March. We did a whole thing where God of War, can you check what's the release date of God of War 4? That's right. No, God of War 3.
Yeah, I was
like, wait, no, that's what we're talking about, but they don't call it that anymore.
God of War 3 was March 16th. All right,
so it's a thing where, I guess, you know, Tim Roth has a great point that like every God of War has come out in March.
We're like, March 13th for 2, and ding, ding, ding. I jumped the gun there. It didn't come
out. Son of a bitch.
I know, yeah, I thought I had it.
Winner, you fucked up this dinner.
I'm really confident. March 22nd.
Yeah, see, so they're all happening there, so you figure probably stick with that for the God of War.
Corey Barlog, a man of tradition.
He knows. He respects the path laid out by David Jaffe. But no, this goes back to what we were talking about too, with like how hard it is for indies to get recognition, right?
Yes.
Because the indie cycle is so much different than AAA or, you know, big third-party publishers. Mm. And I think Dream Daddy is another great example of it, where the dad, you know, Vernon's dad dating simulator, where that got announced within the past month.
Right.
And it was like, hey, here's this crazy game from Game Grumps. It's not what you think. Holy shit. And it blew up outside of Game Grumps.
Right.
And now it's like, hey, we're still riding that train and we're still capitalizing on it. And here, it's out now. It's out that fast. Like, if you can get lightning in a bottle, you go with it rather than like a year out or 6 months out for Dream Daddy. You can't do that. And that's why indies get lost, I think, so much in the fact of we talk too early. And I think that, like, with all due respect, because it's a different thing, you're not fully independent on this one, I understand, but it's what I think Tacoma is going to face, as I was talking about, where I think it would have been a way bigger punch if it would have been like, hey, the guys and gals who made Gone Home, we're next game's Tacoma, and it's out at the end of this month. Mm. Here's what it's about. And I'd be like, whoa, but we've previewed it so many times. And it, granted, again, this is a different business deal because Xbox gives them the money to make this game, for some of the exclusivity. And so it's like, okay, like, whatever. Like, I don't care what the
they
production...
They want to shout about it.
Exactly. And so you get out there differently. But the problem is that you've been out there for so long that it's, again, hard to get people as excited about Tacoma as they were at the announcement. So
sometimes when a game is talked about in the past and then isn't talked about as well because you're trying to maybe taper that, people think maybe it's already out. I mean, Below is another example of that where some people are like, wait, didn't that game come out already?
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, I think you can fix that if you have a strong enough launch that sort of like reminds everyone again. But it's a difficult balance.
It's trouble, man. You can't go too early. You can't go too late.
No.
Yeah. Got to find just right.
Just right.
Dane, let's check in with the readers.
Sure.
Remember, I need you to be a part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Leave your questions about the day's news or what's happening in video games. We compile them here. We answer them. Remember, if you care about Mixer, I need to know why you use it and why you care about it. kindoffunny.com/KFGD. We'll compile those results tomorrow as well. Don't put them in the fucking kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. I want to know what we got fucked up this show. I don't need to know that we fucked up that Mixer is this. That's not what it is.
The word Mixer has been mentioned at least 3 times.
This is my recompense. This is for, you know, like for doubting them at E3. I have to make sure I give them. KV wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what do you think of the term "it's not perfect" when used in games criticism? Personally, I've gone from using it pretty regularly to now seeing it almost as a quick way to faux acknowledge but really deflect criticism on a game rather than engage it. After all, isn't art by definition imperfect? So it seems like a bit of weird redundant phrase to me. Anyways, keep up the great work. Loving the podcast so far, especially with the European sports expert, trademark Danny O'Dwyer. I think...
Thank you so much.
The fact that you talk when you're talking, I love Friday the 13th. Don't get me wrong. It's not perfect.
Right.
It is. It's a totally deflection. It's totally a defense mechanism. Because in the internet, it exists that things are either amazing or they are garbage.
Yeah.
And so when somebody's made, when I'm talking about a game like Friday the 13th that is buggy and has a bunch of problems, I don't want my positivity about the game to your initial thought to be like, this guy doesn't know what he's fucking talking about. Mm. This game's broken as fuck. I've seen that in Bounce.
Right.
I think, and that's totally the way you're talking. He mentioned that's there to deflect and faux acknowledge, you know, and yeah, it is. Cause it's one of those things of, you have a soundbite to talk to. And I think that you see it on the internet on podcasts like this so much is the fact that we place, there it is again. you play so many things, you do so many things. You're going to talk about so many games. We're going to jump around the show so many different things. You don't have time to sit there and give a full review and here's my pros and here's my cons. Not that's to mention
sub-editing yourself as you're speaking.
And not to mention it's not an IGN or GameSpot review where I'm going to sit there and write down all of my thoughts and then come to a conclusion. I'm talking about what I liked a lot or what I didn't like, but I'm not trying to say that this is my definitive answer.
And like talking to people in this manner is like an exercise in, you know, expectation management, like trying to like let people know in what area you feel about something without pushing too far outside of it and overhyping something and also, you know, shitting on something for the sake of it. I think the word perfect to me is one of these like sort of triggering words in my game journalism head, right?
Yeah.
Because it's the idea of the perfect score, which is something that I hated from day one. It was like the idea that 10 out of 10 meant, or 100%, like the old PC gamer like that meant that the game was perfect. And it's just one of these things that our sort of human brains like to do to simplify how things are and how things, you know, how we sort of talk about them. But I'm glad that that word is sort of like, in that way, that term has sort of fallen by the wayside, and it's more of a just, you know, shorthand for there are problems.
Exactly. It's not that you're letting them off the hook, or I guess it's saying it's you saying I'm not letting them off the hook. There are issues with this game, but this is why I enjoy it. This is what it is, and it goes back to that. I think I did an RTX panel where I was talking about a kid wrote into one of the shows, and he was super upset that I was. He's like, you always say vote with your wallet, but here you are talking about Friday the 13th all the time, and the game's broken. And this point, and I'm like, I don't think you understand the concept of voting. Like, me saying vote with your wallet isn't, hey, I don't like this game, so no one buy it. I'm saying, like, for me, I pay for this because it overcomes. Right. I enjoy the experience enough, and I'm recommending it while saying it's not perfect. There are these problems. Be an informed consumer kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Gustavo Mafort wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Says, hey, Greg and Mr. O'Dwyer. So Microsoft just announced their plans for Gamescom, and surprise, surprise, no press conference. My question is, do you think we're ever going to see a press conference from Microsoft or Sony on Gamescom ever again? I'm loving the new show. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, we don't really tend to get that many. Nintendo sort of pulled out largely the last time I was there too. EA always have a press conference downtown.
Yeah. The thing about it is there's always announcements still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There is like, we're going to show a new level. We're going to do this thing. We're going to announce a game or something to that effect. Mm. Or at least for Sony, I can speak to them.
Right.
I don't remember Microsoft's Gamescoms off the top of my head. But yeah, it's interesting to see the press conferences fall away, but it's expected in the way that, all right, cool. Especially with Gamescom being, for so long, it seemed like Gamescom was going to overthrow E3 and be the industry show.
Yeah.
But it's also so mixed in with consumers.
It's such a massive. It's the biggest consumer show in the world. Yeah. Like something ridiculous, like 400,000 people walk through that Colossus every single
year.
And
so I think you start seeing it skew more and more towards being a PAX kind of event for a publisher or Sony or a Microsoft of like, we'll send games. Maybe there'll be a new level. Maybe we'll do a new build. But there's always, again, there's that push and pull in terms of just builds of, we don't want to show our game. We don't want to show too much of this game. You know, I mean, it's funny that I remember talking to Sucker Punch about that, where they were like, I can't do a new Infamous build every time. Right. You know what I mean?
E3 literally just finished.
Exactly. Like, and so then you get to the point now, and we'll just talk about PlayStation, where it's okay, there's E3 and there's PSX, there's Paris Games Week, there's Gamescom,
now every PAX when people want to bring stuff to those as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so you have to just break it down to like, how many conferences a year do you have and how many announcements do you have to go through? And I think with Microsoft, like, E3 was a pretty big conference for them, you know, like it or hate it. Like it was, people said everything they needed to say. So you really can't come out and be like, all right, we didn't talk about these exclusive we have, or this is what the Xbox One X is really going to do. Like, no, like they fired all their guns in that one, and that's what they got to do. And Sony, I think Sony's definitely moved to that strategy of, there's PSX, you know, pretty much 6 months away from E3. And so you get to make your super nerdy PlayStation announcements there, and then your mainstream stuff at E3 and keep it going that way.
Your Patapon's here and your God of War's here.
Oh, fuck, Patapon. It's getting close.
I think
smell it.
As somebody who like worked in the European games press world as well, the really important thing about Gamescom, I think from publisher's perspective, is getting the games in the hands of players and the press there, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we talk about all these conferences, like all of those happen in North America, right?
Yeah.
So like this is basically like the sort of one large one. I mean, Eurogamer Expo exists in London and that's sure. not as big. But
that's even more like PAX, right? Where it is like everybody come together and go to a panel and then there's yeah. this thing on the floor.
They have a big show for it, but it's way smaller in comparison to, I mean, Gamescom essentially is like every single European country, that's where they're going. Paris yeah. Games Week by comparison is very, very small.
Gotcha.
So it's like the one chance for them to sort of talk to everyone. And it's also like a critically important part of the year when so many games come out in September, October, November.
Sure.
So the press conferences were always like a fun like add-on that they had stuff there, but yeah. like I don't think it's not the quintessential main thrust, to it.
Right?
And yeah. also they were never for consumers. They were always press conferences. Yeah. They don't have massive halls in Cologne, or they have loads of them. So it was always like very industry focused. So I don't think like people who go to the conference lose anything out of a theater.
Gotcha.
It's a fun show. It's a real fun show.
Emo Johnny 79. You going this year?
I'm not, no.
Yeah,
I didn't go last year either.
Emo Johnny 79.
Been 7 years. So whoa, okay. Six years. Yeah.
It's a long time.
But pork knuckle, man. It's yeah. fucking delicious.
Never had it. No.
In the Haxton House. If you're in Cologne, go to the Haxton House, get some pork knuckle.
All right. EmoJohnny79 wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, do you think Konami, in a way to foster back some goodwill, will release a Metal Gear Solid 30th anniversary collection, including 2, 3, 4, Peace Walker, etc., on current consoles? I hope so. Those are all great games, and I want to replay them.
I sure don't.
EmoJohnny, that would not foster goodwill at all. That would be the biggest fuck you, we're doing this, and hey, we're going to make money off of your game even more, Hideo Kojima.
Right.
Everyone would riot, I think, if they did that.
Yeah.
Because it would be like, you can't sit there with a straight face and say you're honoring this franchise after everything has happened.
I mean, they're still putting out Metal Gear Survive, so uh-huh. maybe that ship has sailed.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, you're batting down the hatches on that one.
We'll see.
In a similar question, ooh. Alan E. McAdams wrote in and says, hello, Greg and Danny.
Hey.
July 13th, 1987 saw a release that would spawn a beloved franchise, Metal Gear.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is fair to assume that Konami won't treat the franchise with respect it deserves. Cough, Metal Gear Survive, cough. Greg, your love of Peace Walker is well documented, but what are some of your favorite memories from the series?
Hmm.
What's Danny's favorite game moment slash moment? What's your favorite Metal Gear?
I've played all of them, including the old MSX games.
Oh, nice.
Which was super interesting to go back and play
yeah.
because you realize how much actually pulled from that, like hiding in trucks and
yeah.
codecs and
yeah.
everything. I think probably the first one, because like I didn't own a PlayStation until like very soon before the famous, everyone can remember the official Xbox UK magazine cover disc, which had the level. Did you get a demo of Metal Gear Solid over here in North America?
I don't know. I don't remember.
They had one which was essentially the first two levels, like up okay. until you fought, almost up until the DARPA chief has his heart attack.
Yeah,
you know who it was? I think it was.
Yeah, DARPA
before
chief.
The fight with Revolver Ocelot.
I mean, it turned out to be Deco Octopus. Right, spoilers.
Know, right? Spoilers. Yeah. Fucking 28 years ago or whatever now. Sorry, not that long. So I think probably Metal Gear Solid 1. I really like 1 a lot. I love 2. I only recently played 3, like maybe like 2 years ago.
Okay.
I think, but went back and did it.
Yeah.
And I really like 5, but I completed it. And then they were like, oh, it was the second half to this game. And I was like, fuck, I'm out.
Like, it was so just, ends act one. You're like, what right, the fuck?
Ridiculous. I adored that game. That's one of those games that like, if I was to like be sick in bed with a cold for yeah. 2 weeks, that would be a game I'd go
yeah,
back and play.
Yeah,
like,
5 was awesome.
Super cool. But that one is timeless. One is a
yeah, that's the thing. Peace Walker is my favorite game of all time. But
really?
Yeah. Before
favorite, hands down.
Of any video game, Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker is my favorite game of all time. Before that, it was Metal Gear Solid.
Right.
And it was on PlayStation 1. And it, like that entire story of getting that, we rented, me and Poe rented that and Army Men Sarge's Heroes for my newly bought PlayStation.
Did I get a look in?
We put it in first because it was multiplayer.
All right.
And we're like, oh, this kind of sucks, and jumped out and put in Metal Gear. And then we played the rest of the night, like switching the controls off. Mm. And like, he was a better sniper than me. So like, he had to go after Sniper Wolf. Gosh. And do all this different stuff. And like, when the, you know, Psycho Mantis vibrates the controller. Right. And, you know, then it was, you know, I'll never forget when, you know, it doesn't play as well now, obviously, but at the time when you're fighting Psycho Mantis and it goes black and it says Hideo and then it goes smaller Hideo.
Yeah.
And it looked like he changed inputs. I remember yeah. us panicking, trying to grab the remote because totally. It did do that. And then it was the thing of, you know, playing that for an entire weekend or whatever, going into school and talking to my friend John in camps, we've called him the Game Over Greggy Show recently, and him being like, oh yeah, here you like it. He's like, yeah, have you played through with the tuxedo or the bandana? Nice. I'm like, no, how do you get that? And yeah. he's like, well, when you beat the game, you get, I'm like, I've beaten the game like 3 times. He's like, what's going? And I beat it again and then did it. And I noticed that I was fucking up the X and O. Oh, so no, I thought I was accepting, but I was canceling
because
I still had the inverted like Japanese X and O, and I was like, fuck.
But it was one of the, it was like the first time you watch Akira. It was like a window into a type of media that like we'd never really seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
You know, in video games and everything about it. Like you said, all these different things, like when it popped up and said, I see you've been playing International Superstar Soccer. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And trying to figure out like stuff, going into school and being like, oh, you just get the wolf to pee on the box.
Right.
This was like, whatever, 1998, was it? Like, what an incredible year for games. Like, we weren't thinking about games that way.
Yeah.
We weren't thinking about games as, oh, like, just like real life, you can try and figure things
out.
All
these alternate ways to do these things or get this stuff.
Broke the fourth wall. It was just like, it was like learning video games all over again. What an amazing, like, moment to be there while it was happening.
Yeah, 100%.
So good.
Alan E. McAdams asked the question we're all thinking, though. How much will it take to get the Konami versus Kojima no clip made?
I think if I was to give like a completely, completely honest answer to that one, it's one that has been asked so much. It's one that I have spent time looking into, and I think maybe that story eventually gets told, but that is not, nobody wants to talk about that right now. That is...
It's too sensitive.
Too sensitive. There's too much going on between that whole community in Japanese game development that anyone would ever want to
When I did the 2-hour interview with Kojima at RTX Sydney, I was like, "Whoa!" And I'm like, "All right, are you ready to talk about Metal Gear?" Or I asked him a question about Metal Gear, and he gave an answer. And this guy's like, "Mr. Kojima says it was something like it pains him to talk about Metal Gear." I was like, "Oh, do you not want to?" And he's like, "I will." And I was like, "Oh no, this is all very awkward now." You know what I mean? And like throughout it, he never said Konami, and like you know what I mean. It was very clear like what he couldn't say.
I think him as a creator needs to probably get a new project out before always the way. And people say like we've done so many like from the crushing levels of defeat to the rise to the top stories with Rocket League and Doom and with Final Fantasy. But the reason that tends to happen is that people are open about
when they have a success under their belt. You can talk about your failures.
And I think that's one aspect of it. And I also think that there's probably some level of legal stuff going on.
NDAs and gag orders out the ass on this entire thing. It'd be so hard to nail it down. But that's the thing is I do look forward to that day. I think it'll be a book or something with a whole or a giant like article on
Jason
some website.
Schreier's probably already talked to a bunch of people.
I'm sure him and Klepek like they have like string theory on their walls of like all these different things.
What I'd love to do really is talk to him about the design of the game and like nailed like really deep dive on those decisions and talk to the rest of the team who was involved as well, because obviously we keep talking about Hideo Kojima as like this auteur and the sort of the face of this stuff, but like god, these teams are massive and this was a lot of games. It'd be really cool to, that was one of the coolest things about Final Fantasy was talking, I was talking to one of the dudes who was just like he had done the interface design for Final Fantasy 13, but like he'd worked on all these classic Square games. He'd been there for 20 years. And you just don't get access to these people. So there's probably loads of really interesting stories about the first game's development that we don't know about either.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear those stories. Yeah. And that'd be awesome. Cause like talking to him at that RTX panel, like that was like, he was glossing over it, but it was like how he got put on this and that happened, but he wanted to do movies, but he did this, but he found, I'm like, but how did you, he's like, I just showed up Konami. I'm like, or we're at a business. I'm like, how did you get what? Like, this, no, give me more. You know what I mean? But he was hurt. He was hurt.
Yeah.
Speaking of hurting, Greg Way. Squad is a segment where you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, your platform of choice, your username there, and why you need friends. We send you friends to play with. This is Zach. Zach is on PlayStation 4. His handle is Circa Amor. CIRCAAMOR. Why does he need help? He says Destiny 2 when it drops.
55 days and counting.
Beta's next week, right?
That's less than 55 days then.
Well, that's just the beta. That's just the beta. That's not Destiny 2. You're fine on that. I think you're still correct.
That's good stuff.
You're getting to your wrong segment.
Oh, I got him right here.
Before you do that, I want to introduce another new segment. Because again, when you write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, you can introduce new segments. As this one. Hey, Greg and Danny, fuck you. This one comes from Pickle. Pickle wrote in and is quite mad. Why the fuck do you want another iteration of Persona 4? We have a fucking dancing game, a stupid-ass anime, a spinoff on 3DS, and two iterations of the fucking game proper. It's a good game. I get it already. But can we get Persona 3 instead? Would you beautiful fucking show hosts rather see Persona 3 come out with trophies or a re-release and have another way to play Persona 4? Give me Persona 3 any day at this point. P.S. Kevin yelling at Baker's Dozen is my new favorite thing. The student has become the master. No, that's actually a really good
Do
point.
Do it again. Do it again.
Kevin. You can't just waste. Yeah, you can't just waste. You'll get it tomorrow. You'll get it tomorrow.
All right, I need a new ringtone.
No, that'd be great, Pickle. That is a good point. Like, Persona 3, I want to say... I don't want to say it. Will you put Persona 3 PS2 Classic on there?
Okay.
Did it not come as a PS4 PS2 Classic? It didn't.
Correct.
No.
On PlayStation 3?
On PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
That's it? Okay,
PS2
cool.
Classic, PlayStation 3. Yeah.
So no trophies. That's where it's caught on. And of course, you know, I reviewed Persona 3 Fez or whatever on PSP.
Right.
Like, Persona 3 honestly is up there. I think it gives them all running for terms of being my favorite Persona. I think I might have connected with those characters more back then. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a re-release in HD one of that, a PS2 Classic with trophies for that. That is another criminally underplayed Persona game of, like, you know, Junpei in his little hat being an idiot.
Did you play 2? Or one?
No. Persona 3 is my first. Jeff Haynes was reviewing it, said I should play it on PS2, gave it to me, I loved it. Then Persona 4 came, did it too, but it was right after 3, so I didn't jump into it too deeply.
Right.
And then I did the portable PS3, or Persona 3, and then Golden came, now 5.
It's a lot of game.
It is.
I just Googled image search Persona 2. Was Hitler in that game, or is this bullshit?
I'm not familiar enough. I bet he was, probably.
It's named as Hitler.
Hitler's in everything.
Sure. I wonder if Hitler's in the new Wolfenstein. That'll be interesting.
Did you finish the first Wolfenstein? What was his level of involvement with original Wolfenstein?
Well, like, Death's Head was the body, and then What's-Her-Face was the other body.
Yeah, then.
I mean, the original Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
Meg Hitler.
Yeah.
So, but, like, she's now the... What's her name again? I always forget her name.
I don't know. She's got the fucked up face.
So, I don't know. Maybe.
Danny.
Yes, sir.
You're going to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up. Remember, this is where you go if you're watching live while we record the show. One of the benefits you can do. I don't want your editorializing, though. I just want to know the facts we screwed up.
Mr. Salty Dog, it's actually one from yesterday. Correction to Danny's humming of the Dynasty theme yesterday. He was, in fact, humming the theme to Dallas. Sorry, Dynasty. Dynasty. Capitalist Pig, who looks like John Vignocchi. I'm sure this was in jest, but Todd Howard doesn't run ZeniMax. He runs Bethesda Game Studios. Bethesda Game Studios is owned by ZeniMax, and it is they who are suing Oculus.
Yes, it wasn't just PSG. A lot of people having a lot of trouble with the. I mean,
with the.
I guess
the
it's true. I said, tell me what I got wrong. But like yesterday, when they were like, "Oh, actually, there's more than half a month left in July," I'm like, "I know, motherfuckers." Hyperbole.
Fishfin says Mixer was called Beam previously.
Beam.
Yes.
All right.
Beam. Snarky Starky comes in with another one. The IGN show you passed by when researching Mixer was a little doozy called Up at Noon, Thursday at Noon Pacific.
Never heard of it. Really bad branding on that. They didn't even say Up at Noon. It was his game and 22 people were watching.
Oh my goodness.
That's funny.
And then last one, Paul G. I haven't read this one yet. Sony's average game release interval from announcement in a conference to its launch is 13.1 months, which despite the common impression is actually shorter than Microsoft's 14.54. That's look at that. That's data right there. That's impressive.
Oh no, he's got 200. Jesus,
that's a lot of games. Yeah, 274
much
games.
More than this really is a gaff. Of course, it's a gaff thread.
Right.
All right. Interesting. Good job, everybody.
There you go.
That was a show for you. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we record this deep dive into the news of the video game world. If you want to catch it later, many of you do, and we appreciate that. You can get it at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Please remember that no matter where you watch it, we need your support. Please subscribe to all the channels, rate the shows, do all that different stuff, even if you're watching somewhere else. That way, other people can find the show. We can get bigger. One day, Danny O'Dwyer can make his Kojima no clip. We will make that
one
happen.
One day.
One day.
One day I'll come in here with just cream. Yeah, that's how successful. All cream all day. Just
oh God, Danny knows. Yeah, you fit in really well here. You know what I mean? He fits in really well for, you know, coming in here. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow with more Danny O'Dwyer. Right now, we're gonna sign off. I'm gonna read subs and tips on the Twitch. But if you're somewhere else, it's been our pleasure to serve you.